My next guest is Dana Thompson. She's the Outreach and Operations Coordinator for CASA, the Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children in Klamath County. Welcome, Dana.
Hi. Thanks, Mike. Thanks you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here and talk about something that truly changes lives.
Okay. Well, tell me about your work in Klamath County.
So we are CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. We train everyday people like you, me, just lay people to stand up in court and be that voice in a child's life when they're going through their most traumatic period. All of our people are volunteers. They are so important to these children's lives. They go to visit the child once a month, and they investigate. They report to the court. They're the eyes and ears, basically, for the court.
So, tell me about your journey. How did you come about this particular position with CASA?
So, I started out in 2003 working for a local attorney as her legal assistant. And so we did juvenile dependency cases at that time. So I was involved with her doing that. And then, I transitioned into working with the Klamath tribes, and we did a lot of ICWA, Indian Children Welfare cases. And then this job came up at CASA, and so I've been here for 10 years now, 2015. Sorry, my math is off there.
So you've been working with children for a long time.
For a very long time, yes.
Particularly yes. Around legal issues.
Yes, and it's heartbreaking, but I live for those cases where we see where we actually made a difference. And I just hope that something down the road that we might have said or might have done impacted them in a positive way.
So tell me about the problem that CASA in Klamath County is facing.
So as I'm sure you're aware, in Klamath County, we are one of the greatest counties with, the biggest need for poverty. One in four children live in poverty. One in five children don't know where their next meal is coming from. The state average of children in foster care is 5, and we're at 9 per thousand. So, as you can see, we're like almost double what the state average is. We were a industry here that really relied heavily on timber products, and since that's kind of gone away, we've just been struggling to get going again in different industries. And so our big problem here has been finding advocates, especially since COVID. We had, around 36 advocates prior to COVID, and now we're down to about 18. And right after the pandemic, we were down to like less than 10. I think it was 8 or 9. So we're trying to build that back up, but it's been real slow getting advocates to come and volunteer.
What is the need? What would constitute a full house?
So right now we're serving about 36% of our, cases. So a full house, we would probably need a good another 10 advocates, to actually get to where we're serving close to our full capacity, depending on how many children come into foster care. Right now we're experiencing a little bit lower lag in foster care, which is great. It's a great problem, and that's due to DHS. Going in and doing preemptive services. So they're trying to help parents before they actually lose their children to the foster care system.
Okay, so you're saying somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 additional advocates could really be useful for your organization right now.
Right, yeah, and it doesn't seem like a lot of number, but, it actually is. We've been struggling just to find one or two for training. This last training, we had 3, and then 2 had to drop out due to work conflicts and personal conflicts. So that left us with 1. It always seems like it's going to, we're going to get there, and then, something happens.
What's the population overall in Klamath County?
Around 60,000.
Okay. And the number of kids that are in need of CASA volunteers?
Right now we have about 145, but right now we're serving about 40 kids. So, but a lot of those kids are also called what they consider in-home placements, which means they're actually in home. you know, in-home, and then that also includes Lake County, because our DHS here has services for Lake County as well, but those aren't kids we can serve because Lake County's got its own CASA program.
When you talk about serving kids, what does that mean? What does that look like?
So when we talk about serving kids, we do everything, like a full gamut of things. So our advocates go and visit the child regularly. They have to visit, the bare minimum is once per month, and that's visiting at the foster home or visiting at the school, you know, maybe visiting at a sports event. But most of our advocates actually try to see them much more than that, you know, once to twice a month. Then what they do is they investigate everything in the case. So they look at the medical records. They look at they look at the school reports. They talk to the teacher. Sometimes they go sit in class with the kids, at, you know, during school or have lunch with them at school. So that they get to know the child really well. And then what they'll do is they will report to the court on how that child's doing. And that's, we usually have court in Klamath County, and we're kind of unique this way, once per month, where they actually hear the kids' cases. So they'll go up and they'll make a verbal report to the judge. However, we do written reports too when something significant is going on in their life. So they're just the extra eyes and ears, and they'll also do a lot of back work. If a kid's failing in school, they might, you know, discuss trying to get them on an IEP, getting them tutor services, and we do what's called a kid fund, where we can help pay for those services. You know, like if the kid's struggling, needs a tutor, we can help pay for a tutor. Maybe they need some therapy. We will help pay for, you know, writing lessons at a equine therapy place. You know, we try to be very unique and out of the box in the way we provide services.
My guest is Dana Thompson, the Outreach and Operations Coordinator for CASA of Klamath County. So what's the time commitment for CASA volunteers?
So initially, about upfront, it's about, we have a training that's 30 hours, so it's a pretty extensive training. It's all on Zoom. However, you do go to court for additional training. So you can go to court, you watch the case, and you follow around the program coordinator. And we usually try to make a person sit at least, you know, 3 or 4 hours in court. However, they might choose to do longer. Some people aren't really comfortable with the court system yet, so we don't, you know, just throw you out there. You can come and sit with a program coordinator and kind of learn a little bit better, and we kind of, you know, mentor you through the process. And then additionally after that, you might spend 5 hours a month on the case. It really isn't, it's all the work is really heavy in the front. You're learning your kids, you're learning your case. And then after that, it's probably anywhere from 3 to 5 hours a month.
Okay, so each CASA volunteer is given a case or access to a child or multiple children.
Right, and we try to start them out with a lower number of children, but what we really like to do is we'd like to base it on what their strengths are. So we, you know, when we train an advocate, we kind of get to know them and, you know who they are as a person, and, you know, we'll think, oh, this one might be great for a teen who's really into outdoors, or, you know, this one would be really great with a child who's having behavioral issues.
Okay, you know, so you're playing matchmaker.
We are. That's exactly what we do. We sit there, and then we triage cases, too. You know, the cases that are the neediest, we move them up on the list the furthest. So,
how do these CASA volunteers gain the trust of these children, as well as the guardians in charge of these children?
Well, that's very difficult. Most of these children are, they don't trust anybody. They come from broken homes. They've been told over and over again they're safe, they're fine, everything's good, and they're let down over and over again. So one of the core requirements is when we train our advocates is if you say you're going to be at a meeting for this child, you show up. You know, there are no excuses to make at this child that you tell them, you know, yeah, I'm going to make your football game, little Johnny, and then you're just not there. Because that's what they've experienced their entire life. So to gain trust, that's probably the number one thing, is to show up every single time.
Okay, so every missed appointment reinforces that negativity in the child's mind.
Right.
So what happens to the children who don't have advocates?
So we do have a program coordinator. We have two of them, and they sit in court, and so they do take notes on the cases, and they kind of keep an eye on them. They triage them, like I said, if, you know, because we hear these cases so often, if they hear that something is, you know, going wrong in that case, they'll try to move the case up. So they do have some eyes on them, but they do, you know, they're not out there visiting the kids and, you know, they're just being, you know, left in the, you know, behind. I mean, unfortunately, that's, you know, what's happening.
And how do you vet these volunteers?
So they go through an extensive interview process, and we do background checks. We do a federal background check, and we do state background checks. We do child welfare background checks as well. And, you know, our advocates spend a lot of time with them. You know, we're constantly mentoring them through the cases and talking to them. They're, you know, and our program coordinators are at every court hearing with them. So, you know, it's an ongoing vetting process. They're vetted through the entire training, too. So, you know, the trainer, you know, might have concerns and let us know about concerns and what, or, you know, what corrective, you know, corrective things we need to discuss with the advocate when they're out of training.
When I think about who the volunteers might be, I start to think about busy moms with kids are not your volunteers. Busy dads working a job or two are not your volunteers. Who are your volunteers?
So our volunteers actually are busy moms and dads. We had one who was actually, he was in medical school, or well, he was getting ready for medical school. He was going to OIT. He volunteered at hospice. He volunteered in the lab. He volunteered here and spent a lot of time, and he worked a full-time job.
Wow.
So, you know, it's about just fitting those things that are important for you in those times. We've had, you know, we have a advocate right now. She's got four kids and, you know, and they're all doing sports and she takes cases.
That's amazing. And
yeah,
how long do they have to commit to?
We ask for 2 years. However, we have had people say going to college and we know that they're going to be gone in a couple years. So what we'll do is find a case that we think, because, you know, we've been doing this so long, we can kind of judge some of these cases and that will be a little bit shorter term. And so we might assign them a case that looks like it's, you know, going to be an easier case to do or not as lengthy, you know. Parents are engaged right away. They're trying to get services, that type of thing. So,
and how is your operation funded?
So our funding is through the state, is our core funding. However, that's up for, you know, vote right now. And HB 5002 and HB 3196 are our two funding bills that are going through the House right now. So we urge people to contact their legislators and, you know, please say keep funding CASA. But there is only a portion. Then we have United Way, which is about 7%. The state federal is 33%. And then foundations about 21%, and our local donors are 17%, and the rest comes from our fundraising opportunities.
So, how can people in our listening audience help?
Well, they can go to our website and they can donate. We do have our links on there to donate. We are going to have a fundraiser coming up. It's called the Grill and Chill, and it's going to be, we're selling raffle tickets for a $700 grill, a $250 pork package. The tickets are going to be $25 a piece or five for $100. So, you know, we're constantly doing these little fundraisers. I forgot to mention the grill is donated by Diamond Home Improvement and the meat package is donated by Diamond S. But they can also visit at our event and donate too. So I will be at Third Thursdays. I'm going to be at the upcoming air show in July and then as well to the farmer's market. So.
Okay, well, we've got to run. That's all the time we have. Thank you, Dana.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.